Good morning.
Good morning.
As all of you know by now, Pastor Kent is in the hospital. We'll start again. Good morning.
Good morning.
As all of you know by now, Pastor Kent is in the hospital. It was not publicized at the family's request. They're not trying to keep secrets from the congregation. They did not want people visiting him, calling him. He was very ill. He has pneumonia. We expect he will get out on Tuesday. That's the date they're shooting for. So he didn't want to offend anyone. This was Colleen's decision, and she was protecting her boys and her family. So there should be no ill feelings that people didn't know. Sometimes a minister just needs to be a family, his own family. So that was the reason for that. Consistory is stepping in to do the service today. We will continue to do whatever we need to do to keep us going. We ask for your patience and definitely your prayers. Karen Carr has asked me to announce that May is a very busy month. Right now, there is no one signed up for coffee hour. If you want a coffee hour, someone is going to have to step forward. More and more, we're seeing the same people doing everything. Jump in, make a few calls, help us out. So again, if you want a May coffee hour, someone needs to write their name on the board and make some calls. Are there any other announcements? Nancy.
I feel like
who was the little guy that looked over?
Pertaining to the kids' crafts, I will talk to the parents on the dates for May because we have the craft fair next week on a Saturday, which will interfere with the craft class. And then I know the following week is Mother's Day on the Sunday, so I will talk to the parents to pick out what dates we want to do the craft classes for this coming month.
Don?
Next week will be the special dinner and we're going to do it here. And there still is a sign-up sheet downstairs. Hopefully you all can attend.
Just let everyone know that the May newsletter is in the back and you should have gotten it if you were on the email list.
Okay. Are there any other announcements? Let us go to the Lord in prayer and with our prelude, Linda's going to do our prelude. Let us start with our introit.
Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Our census this morning is from Acts 2, 42 through 47. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers.
And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles.
And all who believed were together and had all things in common, and they sold their possessions and goods and distributed them all as any had need.
And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they partook of food with glad and generous hearts.
Praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to their number by day those who were being saved.
And our first hymn is number 2, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing. It seems very appropriate. I don't know who did this. This was here when we came in this morning. But it seems appropriate that Ken is with us with good old Socrates. God works in mysterious ways. One other thing before we get to the prayer of confession. In your bulletin, you'll note that I have put Pastor Kent's home address. I would love to see his mailbox flooded with cards and notes. I'm sure it would really lift his spirits. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their way and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them return to the Lord, that he may have mercy on them, and to our God, that he will abundantly pardon. Let us pray. Loving Shepherd, you guide us in right paths and lead us to abundant life. Yet we confess that we have strayed. We have allowed fear, greed, and indifference to guide our paths instead of your righteousness. We have ignored the cries of the vulnerable and failed to love our neighbors as ourselves. Forgive our apathy and our self-absorption. Heal us by your wounds and guide us back to your path, that we may trust your power to make us new. In the name of the risen one, we pray. Amen. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all our iniquities, who heals all our diseases. People of God, believe this good news. Let us live in the loving kindness of our God.
Lord, have mercy on us. Come and heal our land. Cleanse with your fire. Heal with your touch. Humbly we bow and call upon you now.
Let us continue with the Lord, with the Apostles' Creed. I believe in
God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
You can tell we're pros at this.
And the reading of the law, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets.
A words of assurance are Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. They prepare us a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
As it was.
I'm sorry, I did not plan this well in advance. I did not know that Pastor Kent would not be here. I do not have a children's sermon, but I will, I'll try and conjure up the one that I heard as a child in this church many years ago. I don't even remember. It wasn't the pastor who gave it. It was one of the men in the congregation. And he had two baskets of apples up here on the piano at the time. And one basket was great big red delicious. And the other basket was a red delicious, a Granny Smith, a Macintosh, whatever. Many, many varieties. And he asked the children which one they liked the best. And right down to the child, they all chose the basket of variety. And he pointed out to them, life is like that. People are different, different colors, different sizes, different shapes. And it's the difference in all the people that make the world so beautiful. And that really stuck with a lot of the children. They talked about that for a few weeks after. And I think in this world today, we need to hear that lesson again. God made all kinds of apples. Let us pray. Dear Father, as we somewhat struggle through this week without our pastor, we know that he is with us in spirit, that he is probably chomping at the bit to get here. Please watch over him. Bring him back to us safely, soundly next week, full of energy. Strengthen him. This is where he loves to be, in your house, teaching us your word. As he is watching over us like little children, he knows that our Lord, and we know because of Kent and our teaching within this church and other churches, that the Lord is looking over all of us. And for this we are grateful, Father. Amen. Our next hymn is 496, He Hideth My Soul.
Thank you. cleft of the rock, my shadow's a thirsty lamb. He hides my soul in the depths of his love, and he covers me there with his hand. He covers me there with his hand.
Please be seated. Before I get started, let's open with a word of prayer. Lord God, our Father, we thank you for this day, for the sunshine, for the many blessings you bestow upon us each and every day. We ask now, Lord, that you would open our hearts, open our minds, open our ears, that we will hear of your word and bless it to our daily life. And we ask all these things in Jesus' name, amen. Well, I bet the last thing you thought this morning is that you were going to see this smiling face in front of you. The sermon I'm about to talk to you about today was scheduled for 2 weeks because we knew the pastor was going to be attending his son's college graduation. And when Linda asked me to do it, and I said yes, but the circumstances have turned around. So what you have in your bulletin about the scripture lesson being John 10 isn't true. I'd ask you to open up your pew Bibles, if you have them there, to page 208. It's Hebrews chapter 9 and the 27th verse. Again, Hebrews chapter 9, the 27th verse. And I have entitled today's sermon, The Three Questions No One Escapes on Judgment Day. The Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. Now, we don't talk about it a lot, but we talk about it almost every week. I guarantee you, we just talked about it a moment ago. But I can say with conviction, there are three questions Jesus is going to ask on that day. Now, we mentioned Judgment Day to a certain extent, and we just did in the Apostles' Creed, and we do it in the Nicene Creed. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. Now, these questions aren't random questions, nor are they based on an opinion or even tradition, but rather directly revealed in Scripture. Jesus himself reveals this in the final judgment and what it's going to be like. First, we need to realize that moment itself. And why does it matter? It won't be a scene from a movie, but an actual day described in Romans chapter 14, verses 10 to 12. And that's on page 153 if you're following along. But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, As I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then everyone shall give an account of himself. Now I want you to think about Christ's ascension. Jesus and the apostles are at the Mount of Olives. Jesus tells them, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and all Samaria and to all the ends of the earth. After this, he was taken up before their eyes into the cloud, and suddenly two men in white stood beside them. Men of Galilee, they said, why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back to you in the same way you have seen him go into heaven. That's from Acts chapter 1, verses 6 to 11. Now, this can be interactive between us. If I were to ask you if you knew the most heavily guarded item in Israel, what might you say that is? No volunteers? I'll tell you what it is. It's the Western Wall. Now, most people don't realize that or believe that. It is more heavily guarded than Fort Knox. Now, you don't see it. The Israeli government and the IDF are very, very good. But it's the most heavily guarded place in all of Jerusalem. And you know why? What's outside that wall? Oh, that's right. The Mount of Olives. It sits right next to it. And if you look at geographically, it's right there. So when Christ returns to the exact same place where he ascended in front of all of his apostles, what will happen? Jesus will open that door on that wall and enter in. Christians will proclaim their Savior has returned. The Jewish population will see they in fact crucified the Son of God. And he has returned. And all other religions will see the true God of all. Now, when judgment comes, it comes for capital A-L-L, all of us. Politicians, policemen, teachers, stay-at-home moms and dads, Baptists, Catholics, Lutherans, Reformed, Episcopalian, Seventh-day Adventists, and the Mormons. Everyone, by everyone, I also mean Buddhists, Islamists, Hindu, atheists, and agnostics. Everyone. Why? Because the God I serve said everyone, and that leaves no room for misinterpretation. In Revelations chapter 20, verse 12, the Apostle John states, I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in these books, according to their works. Jesus will not be judging our behavior, but our motives behind it. In 2 Corinthians, chapter 5, verse 10, it says, For we all must appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to what he has done, whether it be good or bad. Or when it comes that day, Jesus won't ask you how many good deeds you did or what you've done or how many rules you kept. He'll start with something more personal. The question isn't about church membership or religious performance or how many Christian events you even attended. This will be the most personal question you will have ever faced because it has nothing to do with your outward appearance, but rather your true relationship with Jesus Christ. In John chapter 3, verse 18, it says, He that believeth on him is not condemned. He that do not believeth on him is already condemned. It's pretty simple. Then the question's pretty simple. Did you believe in Jesus Christ or not? Not in theory or from a distance, but personally. 1 John chapter 5, verse 12 says, He that hath life, the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. John chapter 14, verse 6 says, It leaves no other options. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. So Jesus says, Did you trust me? Did you surrender your life to me? The answer Jesus is looking for is, I received you, I trusted you, and I belong to you. Now the second question Jesus will ask will deal with stewardship. He'll ask you, what did you do with what I gave you? It's about everything God entrusted to your care. It talks about your time, your abilities, your money, your influence, your voice, your mind, and your energy. Your life was never your own. You didn't create your talents or choose your generation. Everything you have is a gift from God. The real question is, did you use it for him? Think about the parable of the talents in Matthew chapter 25, verses 14 to 30. Three servants were given money. Two invested and multiplied their talents. The last out of laziness buried his money out of fear. The first two were rewarded. The last one was not. God isn't measuring you against what others got or have, but simply what he gave you. Jesus will not only ask you what you did, but the motives behind it. Were you building his kingdom or your own personal platform? Were you seeking recognition or serving him in secret? See, God isn't looking for flash. He's looking for faithfulness. Even the smallest job can produce big things in God's economy. Jesus won't ask if you had the most talent, but he'll ask if you multiplied it when he placed it in your hands. Did you invest your time in prayer, in love, in people? Or did you waste it in scrolling and watching or chasing approval? You don't need a platform to be faithful, and you don't need a microphone to make an impact. All you need is a willing heart and the courage to use what you've been given. Finally, Jesus will ask this last question. How did you treat my little ones? It's a question that goes beyond stewardship and belief. It deals with the very core of love. It is not a vague feeling or soft sentiment, but real love. The kind that touches the broken, the unseen, the forgotten. The kind of love that looks like Jesus. In Matthew 25, verses 31 to 46, Jesus gives us a clear picture of the final judgment. He describes the Son of Man sitting on his throne. All the nations are gathered before him, and a great separation takes place, like a shepherd separating the sheep from the goats. To the sheep on the right, he says, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you. For while I was hungry, you gave me food. While I was thirsty, you gave me drink. When I was a stranger, you welcomed me. When I was naked, you clothed me. Sick, and you visited me. In prison, you came to me." And the righteous asked, "Lord, when did we do these things to you?" Jesus replied, "Whenever you did one of these things for the least, you did it for me." He doesn't say you did it for them. He says you did it for me. Every orphan, widow, every addict, homeless man or woman, Jesus sees himself in them. To ignore them is to ignore him. To love them is to love him. Who are these little ones? The widow, the orphan with no home, the mentally abused, the one society casts aside. Jesus isn't asking you to give to charity. He's asking for you to give of your heart. Did you show love when it wasn't easy? Did you help someone when you knew they couldn't repay you? Did you serve in secret or only when others were watching? Jesus sees when no one's watching. So let's pause and reflect. Are you ready for that day? And what would you say to your Creator, the one who has loved you long before the beginning of time and before the time earth and heavens were created? As John the Baptist and Jesus have both said, prepare for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, thank you so much for these words, for your insight to tell us on how we should prepare to see you face to face one day. We thank you, God, for all that you do, and we ask all these things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Our ushers will come forward, and our mission of the month is Veterans and Community Housing Coalition. We have many, many veterans in this congregation. Being one, I hope you give generously. Thank you.
just come before you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. We praise you and thank you for what you have given us. And please accept these our offerings to you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Okay, if we can continue, folks. If we could all... You know, it's great to hear all of you chit-chatting up here, but I really hope that all of you go downstairs for coffee and treats, and you can talk to your heart's content. And it's so good to visit with each other. There's something in life that I like to call a God wink. Something special happens, and it's at just the right time, the answer will pop up. And I looked at this bulletin today, and Kent is talking to us. Our final hymn, number 47, God Will Take Care of You. And I like to think that that's what Kent is telling us today. So let's sing our closing hymn. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we leave your house this day, please watch over us as we travel into our community, hopefully spreading your love and your word. We ask now a special prayer that you watch over our pastor, Kent. He is your true and faithful servant, and we pray that he heals quickly and returns to us. In Jesus' name we ask this. Amen.
Amen.